Job chapter 21, verses 1 to 34. Job replies to Zophar. What do we have in this chapter? Well, we have the mystery of providence, really. You see, the substance of what the comforters say to Job is this. You can really judge a man's condition by his experience. If he's prosperous, if he's successful, if everything's in the garden is rosy, then this man clearly is a godly man, a spiritual man, and he's pleasing God. You can judge by events. This is the policy. It seems to come over again and again. You've gone into bad circumstances, Job. Illness, loss of your children, loss of your business, poverty, and so on. Well, now that's a sure sign that you have sinned. And it's all simple, it's all simplistic to these men. They can see it. But Job says, no, it's a mystery. If you read this chapter through, you'll find quite a lot of it is that the wicked seem to do very well. They seem to be rich, they seem to be prosperous, they seem to be happy, they seem to get on, and they have a wonderful burial, everybody says wonderful things about them, and it looks lovely. And yet he knows throughout that this is not the end of all things. He knows that there is a judgment coming. And so Job can see it's a mystery. You can't judge by events. He comes down fairly heavily on the fact that wicked seem to do well. It's parallel, really, with Psalm 73, where the psalmist says, you know, I just don't understand it, how the wicked seem to do so well in this life. You see, human nature, we want things simple, don't we? Wouldn't it be lovely if God showed by events what's going on inside? But it's not like that. And at least Job knows that. But he seems to have forgotten, I'm bound to say, he seems to have forgotten the glorious high ground he was on in the 19th chapter. It does seem that he's come down, really, into his grief again. And he's lost his composure somewhat. And he seems to be pushed off course here a bit. And yet, he is arguing more sensibly than these other men. So, again, it is a mystery. We are a mixture. And Job is showing it. Well, the mystery is, of course, that you just can't judge by the events. You can't judge by circumstances. The truth is, as Isaiah 55 says, God's thoughts and God's ways are higher and beyond us. We can't understand. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts aren't mine, says God. You're man. It's a mystery, this providence. We must go by the word of God. We can't judge by events. But what does Job see here? It comes over very clearly. He knows that God is sovereign. He's very sure of that. Look at verse 16. The fate God allots in his anger. God is allotting things. God is working things out. How about verse 16? Their prosperity, the wicked, is not in their own hands. No, whose hand is it in? Well, it's clearly in God's hand. In verse 21, he uses the word allotted again. Yes, this tells me that Job knows God is sovereign, and man's times are not in his own hand. You get this very clearly in Psalm 31, verse 15. My times are in your hands, the psalmist says. The godly man realizes that. The godly man accepts that. The godly man rejoices in that. I trust in you, he says in the previous verse, because I know my times are in your hand. To the God of love sees fit, not a shaft can hit. This is what Ryland sang in his hymn. Thousands might fall round us, but our times are in God's hand. It's not blind fate or luck or chance. Job knows it's God's sovereignty. He also knows, and he sets it out very clearly here, that God is the holy judge. Man is answerable. Verse 19. It is said, God stores up a man's punishment for his sons. Let him repay the man himself so that he will know it. Job is speaking in terms of God judging. And he's not saying this in the bitter spirit. Verse 22, God judges even the highest, yes, even the kings of the earth and the presidents. As I speak, President Obama is leaving office and President Trump is going to come in. But these presidents one day are answerable to God. They're answerable to him now, and one day they will know it if they don't know it now. They stand to be judged by God, and the lowest too, all of us, including me. Job knows this. God is the holy judge. We don't judge by events. We're not the judge anyway. The opinions of men are very good or all that, but that's not what counts in the end. What really counts is what God says about a man. And God is all wise. Verse 22, can anyone teach knowledge to God, since he judges even the highest? Even the greatest philosophers, the greatest judges, the greatest teachers, they have to answer to God. But he is open to prayer. Job knows that. Verse 4, is my complaint directed to man? Well, who is he complaining to then? Who does he address? He addresses God in his prayers. Job also knows that life is brief. He talks about allotted months in verse 21. The natural man, the sinner, the unbeliever. Well, we're all sinners, but the unbeliever. I'm using the division sinner and saint, as the Bible does. But the unbeliever, how does he talk? Well, he talks as though it's endless life in this time, but it's not. He's not going to live forever in this life. No, no, no. It's allotted months. It's a very brief span. And Job has this sense in this speech of his now. So, what of sinners? He warns us very clearly here. They think, that sinners think, there's no advantage in religion, there's no way in it, you see. They say to God, leave us alone, we have no desire to know your ways, who is the Almighty? He summed up the unbeliever here. Get rid of God. Well, I'm not appealing for religion. No, I'm not. Religion is fatal. No, no. But these men don't want anything to do with God. They don't want God in their lives. But their prosperity is not in their own hands, you see. No, God is sovereign, as he said already. Job said, I stand aloof, verse 16, from the counsel of the wicked. I don't go down that way. They don't want anything to do with God. They got no time for God, no will for God. They don't want any desire for him. They don't want him to rule over them. He's not going to interfere in our lives, they say. No, no. There's no thought of God in all their thoughts. So God doesn't appear anywhere there. They don't want him. If they do think of him, it's to get him out. And so Job is thinking very much of how it looks as we look at events. These ungodly people, they can seem to live well, they can seem to do well, they don't care for God. They get a wonderful exit, a wonderful burial, and many eulogies and praises. But Job says that's not what counts. What really counts is it's what God says. All men follow after him, and after a countless throng goes before him, these people, but no, no, that doesn't count. No, 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 I don't live for their opinions. It's not their thoughts, it's what God thinks. My dear friend Jim, who's now in glory, he often used to say, I've heard him say, I don't care what kind of exit I have, meaning I don't care what kind of glorious funeral I have, that's not the important thing. He was thinking of 1 Peter chapter 1, I want a glorious welcome. That abundant entrance, as it puts it in the Authorized Version, into the eternal glory. It's not the exit, my friend, it's the welcome at the other end. And Job says, what you're saying to me, Zophar, and Bildad and the rest of you, but Zophar in particular, what you're saying, you three comforters, is nonsense, and I'm not going to listen to you. That's verse 34. And I'm going to think, and he is thinking, and although it's not all right what he says, he has shown us the mystery of providence, the sovereignty of God, the accountability of man. You can't judge by events. And there is a reckoning day coming. God is judge. God is sovereign. Brother and sister, these are words of consolation for me and instruction and reproof for me. And I want to learn by it. My times are in God's hands. I want to feel that and know that and rejoice in that. And I know it doesn't matter what men say of me. In the end, it's what God says. May I go on living, looking to the eternal day and when God will appear to judge me in Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant, will make up for it all. I put this to you, brother and sister, and urge you to keep your eye upon that day and the sovereignty of God now. It's not luck or fate or chance. It's not blind things. It's not man doing it. It's God is sovereign. An unbeliever, Job has something to say to you. You may want God out of your life now. You want nothing to do with him, but you're answerable to him. Your times are in his hand. Your breath is in his hand, whatever you think. And you have to stand before him and answer. Prepare to meet God. Job will tell you that. And it's not how you leave this world and the way men praise you. It's what God says. And it's how you enter the next life. And there is a next life. And it's an eternal life, eternal existence. Will it be in joy and bliss and glory? Or will it be in torment and damnation? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. So seek the Lord now while he may be found. Call upon him now while he is near. That's the time. Today, now, this very moment. That's what I learned from Job chapter 21. May God write these lessons in our heart and produce the fruit of it in our lives. May we come to Christ now, all of us, in trust and faith and hope and confidence. And looking unto our Lord Jesus Christ, may we go on in faith, waiting for that glorious day when he shall come again and we shall see him. And then, if we are in him now, to be with him forever and ever. May it be so for us all. Amen.